Hi, this is Shane Vanderhart, and you're listening to another Caffeinated Thoughts interview. I'm getting to sit down with Jim Gibbons, who is currently an Iowa 3rd Congressional District candidate, a Republican. He was a three-time All-American wrestler for Iowa State University. He was also, in 1981, won the NCAA Wrestling Championship. And then he also coached Iowa State, leading Iowa State to win the national championship back in 1987. Most recently, after 20 years in the financial services industries, he just resigned as vice president of Wells Fargo before getting into the race. I hope you enjoy this interview and find it informative.
Why did you decide to run, Jim?
Well, I decided to run because I thought I could win.
Okay.
You take a look at what's happening in the country today. The amount of government spending that we're doing right now is clearly unsustainable, and you need tough-minded people to make the tough decisions.
Okay. Before we started recording, you mentioned we got kind of a crowded primary.
Yeah.
What sets you apart from the other six candidates?
Well, I understand the spirit of why people are stepping up. You know, there are a lot of people that are concerned about the direction our government is heading. But there's a lot of good people that are in this field. I understand that, and again, I understand the spirit of why people are stepping up. But what sets me apart is I think I have the best opportunity to keep both burners on high, which is in order to win this race, you're gonna have to raise a couple million dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing is to build an organization. And I think that I have the best. Best opportunity to go ahead and keep both burners on high.
Congress looks like they're about ready to pass another jobs bill.
Yeah.
AKA stimulus to at least in the House version.
Yeah.
What should government do in light of the high unemployment rate? I mean, I know you're...
Recognize that jobs aren't created in Washington. They're created by employers.
Okay.
And we need to focus all those energies on supporting people to go ahead and, number one, keep people employed and add to their roles. And I think that's what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But when you add all this government spending, a lot of our employers are feeling like they're, voodoo dolls. Another pin being added to them, pricked.
Yeah. Okay. On marriage, I noticed on your website you believe that marriage is between one man and one woman, and are in favor of a constitutional amendment to protect that definition.
Yeah, I'm for traditional marriage.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you would support a federal marriage amendment?
Sure.
Okay. Kind of my thoughts. I was thinking state rights and all that.
Yeah,
how would that balance out with a couple states now that have passed Vermont and New Hampshire?
Yeah, and that's a difficult difficult conflict here with the state rights. But you're asking me, what do I personally favor?
Sure.
Right, traditional marriage.
Okay. Now, here in Iowa, all politics is local.
Right.
And we've got the gubernatorial, primary. You got
sure.
One side, let's do an executive order, and other side say, no, let's not necessarily focus on that, but maybe encourage legislative process or maybe even the constitutional convention. Have you given that much thought as far as what you think would be most effective here in Iowa?
The most effective thing in Iowa is to be able to go ahead and regain the majority so we can vote on it.
Okay. So focus on winning back the legislature.
Yeah, right. And I understand the above approach. I got a joke with you a little bit on this, is that the Oklahoma State wrestling coach, John Smith, is a good friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
He goes, I'm using that as a recruiting tool against the Hawkeyes.
Awesome. Nice. Oh, man. I noticed you're also...
We add cyclones on that,
okay. Yeah, that's true. I was going to have to say...
Panthers, whatever you want.
I'm a Hawkeye fan, but still, that's...
That's
all right. I know you're also pro-life.
Sure.
If you were to get to Congress, how would you advance the pro-life cause?
Well, I think number one is we need to do it. You're one of 435 people there, mm-hmm. but my core beliefs are life, you know, begins at conception and should be protected until natural death. But the other part of this, I think, that's really so important is defund these little stealth efforts to fund abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if you take a look at regardless of what your views are on it, we, you know, people feel very strongly that they don't want to be funding it.
Okay.
And so, I happen to not believe in it, all right, again, life begins at conception, should be protected until natural death.
Mm-hmm.
But to really have to ferret through these bills and take a look at these attempts that have been made by this administration and mm-hmm. Nancy Pelosi mm-hmm. to really, you know, fund it at the federal level. And it's already, you know, it's already probably there, but we've got to go ahead and stop that.
Sure. Okay. What were your thoughts about, you know, just kind of side note, Palin's death panel's comment?
Well, you know, it was in the bill. You know, she got attacked for it, but it certainly stopped it, and they backtracked off of it. But,
yeah.
You know, when I say protect it until natural death, there's things that you can do to, you know, that if somebody wants to go without, you know, taking the medical services, they have that option.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just think that, those are decisions that should be done at the family level with the people who care about you the most.
Okay.
With the assistance of a good quality, physician.
Sure. Now, kind of along the lines of pro-life, what's your position on death penalty?
The death penalty is different than what you have with the, that's not necessarily innocent life.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much different than the abortion. And I know that there are parallels that are oftentimes drawn at that. But if you don't have to use it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then if but I have a hard time comparing that innocent life, right, in mm-hmm. abortion, and what happens through the death penalty process. And I think that there should be a very high standard of proof.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have too many examples in our judicial system where we don't have, you know, people have been put to death and found later that they may have been innocent. So there should be a very high, extremely high standard for that.
I just kind of random thought when talking about the, you know, criminal justice process. Just CNN yesterday had an article about a 12-year-old that's facing adult murder charges.
Oh, okay.
Allegedly, he had killed his mother, and when he was actually 11,
mm-hmm.
They were wanting to send him away for potentially send him away from life without the possibility of parole. What's your thoughts on
not knowing the details of the case?
Yeah.
That seems a little bit extreme.
Okay. So probably is, sometimes I'm concerned, and I know the Supreme Court's actually going to be looking at this issue, but when I see juveniles and the adults, sometimes that's purely appropriate, especially mm-hmm. older kids, but when I see young kids like that, I just curious.
The life issue,
uh-huh.
I don't want to equate innocent life
mm-hmm.
with somebody who's cause a tremendous wrong to society.
Okay.
And if we have the ability to incarcerate, we find fully that that's really what occurred. Okay, because a lot of things, you know, some things happen over time that allow it to be a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
we just need to know that that's exactly what occurred.
Okay. Immigration reform. What should be done with immigrants that are already here? Or illegal aliens, I guess I should say.
Yeah, and that's a tough issue because they're becoming more and more embedded in the foundation of our economic system. And but I think that you have to go ahead and start with, you can't necessarily put those people at the front of the line.
Okay.
they've come here illegally, mm-hmm. and every note on that cord is the finger position is off, from border security to the companies that go down and recruit, Central America, Mexico, they have people come up here, to the atrocities, the human trafficking that happen on the border. Mm-hmm. People that, and if you take a look at these people that are coming up through here, I mean, the host country is providing a terrible environment for them. They feel like they have to come up here to make a better way for themselves. So, again, every note on that cord is off. And I think that we have to start with, securing the border. Can't put jump people to the head of the line. But we also probably have to do something over time to, with our worker programs to widen the bandwidth. So it becomes, but why would you do that in the past when people were just coming over here freely anyway?
Sure, yeah.
Now, after 9/11, when you take a look at the security issue here, the type of people that are potentially coming across our borders, terrorists, people that mean our country harm. And then we've got to make the determination, is that, who are you? Where are you from? Why are you here? What's your intentions?
So are you in favor of the fence? People are wanting to do the fence all the way across?
I'm in favor of increasing border security.
Okay.
No question about that, and going after these folks that are profiting from this human trafficking.
Okay,
if you take a look, these are actual atrocities that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
Women that are raped, and these coyotes that you take a look at what's happening. It's a nightmare. And so you're taking people that, when people came across to Ellis Island, right, mm-hmm. they weren't taken advantage of and raped and all this other stuff. I mean, those things didn't occur, right? That's happening down here at our southern border.
Mm-hmm.
There are serious concerns about that.
I've even heard some people say, let's put the National Guard, or some actually that's starting to happen, but some people think there should be a regular presence. Are you in favor of possibly using the military in that role, or no?
Well, our military is obviously being stretched pretty thin,
mm-hmm.
On a number of different fronts, but we have to do something. Right? Yeah, I have a difficult time putting people come here illegally at the front of the line.
Sure.
But I understand why they're coming.
Every
note on that cord is off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've got, when we're providing human services for kids.
Yeah.
I a while back, Register, I don't know if you saw it, wrote an article about the homeschool assistance program. It's like, the state's funding homeschoolers, and people are up in arms about that, but never stopped to consider how many illegal aliens
on the healthcare alone. I think it's like, I saw something the other day at one of these town hall meetings over in Ankeny here where Larry Noble and Kevin Kester were. They're talking about we spend $93 million just on healthcare of illegals.
Okay.
And coming into the emergency rooms. So I don't know if that's an accurate figure, but it's not free.
Yeah, absolutely. President Obama wants Republican leadership to meet with him later this month, have it televised, to discuss this health care reform bill. And it sounds like the starting point, he wants to get their input, the starting point is going to be the current bill as is. Some people are saying Republican leadership shouldn't come unless they're going to start from scratch. Some will say, "Oh, let's go ahead and see what we can do with this current bill." What are your thoughts?
Well, my thought, I heard the same verbiage out of Leonard Boswell. They said, "Well, we should just work on some of the things that were good in the bill." Okay, mm-hmm. By saying that there are some things that were good in the bill, you're admitting that there's some things that are bad in the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you define for us what things are bad in the bill and why you voted for them?
Okay. Yeah. So those Democrats would probably say, "Well, no public option."
No, define what's
sure.
By point of comparison. Since you said there's something that's good, there obviously must be something that's bad. Define why you voted for something that's bad.
Yeah, good point.
Define what it is and why you voted for it.
Okay.
Let's start there.
Yeah. Now, what do you think should be done? If we had clean slate, you know, able to start from scratch, which I hope we have the opportunity to do, because I think healthcare reform does need to be done.
Yeah.
But this current bill doesn't really lower healthcare costs.
No, it doesn't. And in fact, what it'll probably do in this instance is in the state of Iowa, we'll get a worse system, right? Because we have a pretty good system. I've talked to industry leaders, in their concerns, and you know we got great doctors in this state. You know, we've got pretty good regulation. We've got good insurance companies. Our uninsured number is closer to 9% versus nationwide at 16%. So, you know, we'll end up subsidizing once again, just like we do with Medicare, where we're 48th in Medicare reimbursements. We're subsidizing the uninsured in other states. So it's not necessarily a good bill for Iowa. And so you sit there and go, okay, why? I mean, this is just a symptomatic of liberal or progressive policies here where you know, we went through this with Nixon and we went through this before in the after World War II, where we froze wages. Mm-hmm. And so what did they end up doing? They ended up adding benefits, those benefits like health care. And if you take a look at those, you know, by not adhering to free market principles, okay, now we've got these benefits that are tied on. The benefits become more and more expensive, and it doesn't really. Now all of a sudden it's tied to employment. When you change your job, you know, you don't change your auto insurance. When you change your job, you don't change your homeowner's insurance. You don't change your life insurance, okay, unless it's linked to the, you know, the company policy, right? But we, you know, I think the optimum system would be somehow untangle, all right, and employer based system, right? So that it's tied to the employer. Why is it that the employer's responsibility? Mm-hmm. You know, because of wage and price freezes, that policies that didn't work decades ago. All right, so we need to if you say what's the optimum system, I would probably say, you know, we need to untangle that. And we all know why they do it today, because they can get their payment after every paycheck and take it right off the top of the paycheck. But so, you know. I think there were some good things in there that need to be considered. I would like to look further at that being able to go into Medicare earlier. Right? I know that Medicare, you know, that needs to be run more like an insurance company. Okay, and the largest provider the largest purchaser of health insurance in this country is what? The federal government. They need to be able to do a better job of purchasing a wise purchaser instead of just, you know, but the whole model is kind of a little bit flawed from the standpoint it's all fee-for-service. Now, I've worked quite a bit with people who are in their 70s and 80s, and it was not unusual to go ahead and see a cookie tin full of medications. You go in there, you get this. If this hurts, I get this. This hurts, I get this. But the stats are is that somebody has two long, you know, like arthritis, or if they have diabetes. You know, if you just had diabetes, you know, you're six times less, right? Your cost of care is usually six times less. So we're not really looking at the whole person, how that all works together in that fee-for-service model. We're going in there for what it ails you today and not looking at, you know, the total person. As a result, a lot of our seniors are sitting with whole cookie tins full of medications.
Tort reform?
It has to be looked at, no doubt about it, because now as a result of that, you've got doctors practicing defensive medicine. And, you know, the other thing that has to happen in this whole process is that there's practice variation in different parts of the country, okay? That you walk into a doctor's office and you have, there's a large variation between what, and there might be only 35% overlap between one practice and the next. We need to get that closer to 80%. Give the doctor some freedom to be able to go ahead and you know, with his experience, his or her experience has been, but there's large discrepancies there. So we're not getting kind of a uniform care. And as a result, our insurance companies really don't know what they're paying for as well.
Yeah, very true. Shift gears a little bit let's stay on domestic for a second, and I'll shift gears to foreign stuff. No Child Left Behind. What are your thoughts on federal role in education?
You know, I think that you got to leave that up in the most optimum situation, defined for me where the Constitution says that the federal government should be in charge of education. Now, I understand testing, benchmarks, and standards, but you know, a lot of that can be accomplished at the state level. I'm concerned with what Jonathan Narcisse has been saying with regard to our graduation rates, and it appears that we've got some sort of a brain drain going on, but that, those things mostly have to be attacked at the state level and at the local level.
Mm-hmm.
Bigger is not necessarily better. You came from a small school and moved to a larger school. You know, mm-hmm. kind of what that's like.
Yeah.
You can get lost in the system.
Definitely.
And along those lines, you know, we've got, you know, I have no problem with some the right to organize labor, mm-hmm. right? But when you're sitting across from somebody who doesn't have any vested interest in keeping costs down, that's an issue.
Yeah. That's very true.
Yeah.
Tea Party movement. What's your feelings about the Tea Party?
I'm very warm to the movement. I understand it. I think I'm almost, I consider myself probably a product of it. You know, the people stepping up and wanting their voices to be heard, want to return to constitutional principles, and when we've got an opportunity to speak in front of those groups, it's been congruent.
Shifting here to the war on terror.
Sure.
Iraq. Do you support President Obama's end date for Iraq, the pullout date?
I don't think you can put a finite end date on that, because all of a sudden, it's like turning the we're going to turn the lights on this day, and then all of a sudden all the cockroaches are sitting there waiting to scurry back in.
That's, I always thought the same thing. It's like, it's one thing to plan and have it, you know. Plan that date.
That's placating.
To broadcast it.
He's placating the left. I mean, he's just trying to.
Yeah. Afghanistan. Do you support the surge?
Absolutely. All right. And I think that I want to be very clear on this. I support the president's effort to with the increased military presence in Afghanistan, because the real issue here is Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Pakistan has the nukes, and they're unstable. And you know, if you take a look at the hill country there, if Taliban and those are able to get a foothold and take over that country, now we've got real issues.
You think he should be trying to convince Pakistan to let our military go into that tribal?
Well, it'd be optimum to see if they would do it, but who knows? They're probably there anyway.
Okay.
I would say this: our predator drones and that type of thing are probably there.
Yeah. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has just declared today, I saw on Fox News, that Iran is now a nuclear state. They just produced their first batch of enriched uranium.
Mm-hmm.
Are you satisfied with how President Obama has handled Iran? And if so, what's he been doing right? If not, how can he be approaching this differently?
Iran is difficult because 80% of their population is under the age of 30.
I'm not sure.
It's a real high number, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you take a look at just the pronunciation.
I wrote down the phonetics.
Yeah, can I get the Ahmadinejad or whatever it is? Is that Mahmoud,
yeah.
Right? Is you take a look at his, you know, does he represent the whole population there? I would submit to you, no. So there's a revolutionary spirit that we should be, you know, if my only criticism, it comes to mind right away with regard to our policies in Iran, is when they were standing up and protesting, our president basically was silent for a number of days.
Yeah.
And that was unacceptable, because we should have supported that, because I do not believe that he represents his population.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going back to wrestling, Iran is like, if you went to the world, I went to the world championships back in 2002,
mm-hmm.
I think it was 2001. Iran had like about 6,000 people in Madison Square Garden. They love the sport. Okay, they're nuts about it. I walked amongst them. They're friendly. They're neat people. It's an educated population, and you'd be surprised how many Iranians are in this country. It would blow your mind if you had a If you had a wrestling meet here, there'd be 6,000 that show up right away. They love their sport. Mm-hmm. What I'm getting at here, though, is that at some level, we may be winning this by demographics, but we've got to be able to go ahead and keep him in check. And then we also have to support Israel's right to defend themselves.
Okay, so if Israel decided, you know what, we're going to take that reactor out, you'd say, all right.
Well, they've come out and said this leader has come out and said what he would do to Israel.
Okay.
So we have to determine whether that's a legitimate threat. And again, one of 435 voices here with regard to that.
Sure.
That decision's not going to be made at the House of Representatives level. Mm-hmm. But I do support Israel's right to defend themselves if provoked.
Okay. As far as sanctions against Iran, do you think that should be explored, tougher sanctions?
Sure. All measures. All measures.
Okay.
Against this regime, but not against the not so much against the people, because I think that demographically, it'll go into our favor.
Okay. Then let's see. How are we doing on time, Brian? Okay. Patriot Act. Some people think it's a mixed bag. On one hand, something needed to be done after 9/11 too, in order to strengthen our national security. But then some people say overreach. What are your thoughts on the Patriot Act?
We don't hear anything about it now that there's a Democrat in the White House.
Okay. Well, we're not in a war on terror anymore either, evidently. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, yeah. I think that, that was used as a political football. But every president should have that right to, that's what they're there for. That's what government is at the federal level is for, is to defend us, help with infrastructure and invention. But defense first.
Okay. Closing Gitmo. What are your thoughts on that?
Why?
Okay.
Yeah. Why would you want to go to Illinois in this time of year? Michigan.
Yeah. I thought, interesting, we're going to have Gitmo North just across the border.
Yeah.
From us. Do you feel like these enemy combatants, should they still be classified enemy combatants? Should they be in our...
We should be declaring war on these groups.
Okay.
Okay? And making it an actual act of war.
Okay.
Because they could declare war on us.
All right. So the Christmas bomber shouldn't have been Brandeis?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
All right.
And this holder has a lot to answer for.
Yeah. Anything else you'd just like to share? I'm kind of through my list of questions here.
No, we're excited about what's happening here. We're excited about the reception we've gotten, and passionate about doing this. I look at it as I want to compete and win at a high level. And Leonard has, our focus is winning in November.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do that, you've got to build the infrastructure. You got to be able to raise the funds to be able to do it. So we're both burners on high.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if people, a lot of things that will come up will be just politics. He's this, he's that, or whatever. But I've represented this state all my life. I've had these first in the nation experiences before, mm-hmm. as an athlete, as a coach. And once you've had that, you never stop representing your state.
Okay.
And I wanted to be able to do that again in the House of Representatives.
Great. Awesome. Thank you so much.
You bet.